Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 192. I am Chris, as always, joined by, well, I guess not always, because he's not been here the last couple
of weeks. Hey, I was here last week.
You were here for the intro, and then
and then I was gone.
I totally forgot that. Like, I thought you came back for some reason.
I almost came back, and then my internet just crapped out.
So Tony is here. He's back. And Jeff as well.
Yeah, I'm drinking a Revolution Anti-Hero.
Fozzie is somewhere. Ooh. He will join us.
I was excited last week. I had a beer called Raging Bitch. I was excited to talk about it. But this week I just have a Smithix, so it's not that exciting.
How is the Raging Bitch?
It's nice. Raging Bitch is always delicious.
I guess.
It's really fun to order that at a restaurant.
Can I have a Raging Bitch?
I was like, I was at a, we had like a staff lunch, and my my boss's boss and I are always talking beer, and he's like, so Tony, what IPA's on tap? And I'm like, oh, it's the Raging Bitch, and this is in front of like all my colleagues. It's great. It's like uptight corporate culture, and I'm talking about the Raging Bitch. Wonderful.
Well, Raging Bitches aside, we've been playing some stuff. Jeff's been playing Dark Souls 2. He's jumped a little more into it than he did last week, so you drop that on us.
I'm about 20 to 25 hours into it. I feel like I'm making good progress. I did hit a wall at some point though, and this was yesterday and the day before. I was stuck at one boss, the Three Sentinels and the Lost Bastille. So anyone who's playing this will know that. It's basically like these three skinny ass motherfuckers with these big long ass hammers. And when you like drop into this area, like you're up on this ledge, and then like there's one up there on this tiny ledge with you, and then there's two down below. I mean, and I go into boss fights with, like, I bring phantoms with me. Like, I bring people to help me. Usually they like, beat the boss for me while I cower in the corner like a little bitch. But, like, you know, you bring two phantoms with you, so there's, like, three of you up on this ledge with this boss. He fucking will swing, and, like, if he hits me, like, it's basically, I'll be lucky if I'm not get killed. So I was stuck. I was stuck for a day or so. Like, every time I go in there, and I'm running out of things to turn me human so I could summon people to help me, because there's no way I'm doing it on my own. But finally, at some point last night, after like hours of trying, I like summoned this guy who was a fucking beast. He came in with like this huge ass sword. And he just kicked the first guy's ass for me, no problem. But then, like, of the other two guys, they'll leap up if you stay up there. Like, after you beat the first guy, they'll like jump up and like attack you as they get up on the ledge. So that happens, and I got hit, and I got like hit really hard, and I got knocked off the ledge, and you take fall damage because it's like a 20-30 foot fall. So I hit the ground, and I had a sliver of life left. I was like, here we go again. But luckily that was the one. Like, I got up, I healed myself, and I just ran around like until this guy beat all of them for me. So now I'm making progress again. But yeah, it's really, you know, it's like I said last week, it's basically more Dark Souls. They didn't tinker with it too much, except for like I really like the fast travel system they have in it.
Did I hear correctly that you can't infinitely farm souls in an area, that like monsters stop respawning at some point?
Yes, that's true, and I don't know if that was the case. I can't remember. I think that might have been the case in one of them, but it's actually a cool thing though, because on my way to these bosses, there's like one area like right before the boss, you like open a door and you get ambushed. Like, I think it's like 10 guys run out and like they would kill you every time. Well, you grind, you keep doing it, and like you're leveling up as you do it, so it's not that much of a chore. And eventually the area will clear out, like they don't respawn anymore at all. Like, they'll be gone forever. So then now you have safe passage to get to that boss every time.
Okay.
I like that, actually. I like the way they did it. It's perfect. It lets you level up a little bit, but then the area is safe for you, so you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, I heard that it seems that, I guess, the soul requirement for for leveling is a little bit lower too. Like you actually level up a little bit quicker than you did in Dark Souls 1, which kind of balances out with that, the not being able to just infinitely farm souls. I don't know how true that is though, so.
Wait, what was that?
That the level requirements, the soul requirements are a little bit lower to level up your character.
I mean, the thing is, like, I played a little bit of Dark Souls earlier this year. I don't remember, but, like, I'm a level 60-something right now, and you need, like, 6,000 souls around to level up. But the thing is, like, the enemies in the next area I found right after that, like, I kill, like, one of them, I'm getting a fucking 1,000 souls off of one little enemy, so I don't know, maybe it is a little bit easier to level up, but you do have to level the fuck out of stuff. Like, I'm still trying to get my strength to the point where I could carry, like, an awesome weapon, you know.
Really? And you're, like, level 60 or so?
Yeah, because every time you get enough souls to upgrade one little thing, like one little stat, that counts as leveling up.
Right. No matter what you level, like, each time you level, you go up a level, but that just seems crazy. You're, like, level 60 and having trouble carrying, like, a big sword.
Well, my strength is at, like, level 26, 27, and I have, like, a shield that requires level 30 strength, a sword that requires, like, level 28. So I've been, like, focusing a lot on strength, even though I'm a magic build, like, I'm a sorcerer, you know? So, like, putting it into, whatchamacallit, whatever, like, the intelligence or whatever the fuck they call it, so that my spells are stronger.
Right.
But you want to be able to have a good sword so you can run in and... That's the cool thing about the game, like, yeah, you pick a class or whatever, but you kind of just build it up how you want, you know? Kind of be a little bit of both.
Right. I mean, that's how the last one did it, so.
Yeah. I love it, though. I mean, like, I really love it. Like, I've sunk at least 20 hours in that game in the last week, and that's a lot for me these days, so.
Right. I was watching video a little while ago of, apparently there's some area where you can, like, trick people into actually walking into your game.
Oh, really?
And the guy was, like, impersonating, like, a helpful soul, and, like, he had a ring that made him look like he was helpful, but he was actually, like, they were technically invading his game, so they thought he was there to help them, and he looked like one of, like, the white helpful ones, and then he was, like, stabbing them in the back as they walked by.
It's terrible, man.
And it was, like, he's got, like, 20 minutes of videos of, like, him just, like, killing people as they walk by.
That's really awful. Like, I don't fuck with any of that, like, the PvP shit or whatever. Like, I've never had someone invade my game. Like, I think it happened to me, like, in Dark Souls and Demon Souls once, so I don't know why it doesn't happen to me more. It's like, maybe there's something you have to do to, like, get people to invade your game more and shit like that, but yeah, that's pretty funny. Because I'd be pissed. The game is hard enough as it is. I don't even, like,
to without people, like,
people just coming into my game and fucking my shit up, or people tricking me and thinking that I'm gonna help.
That was the best part. Like, they would walk in and he'd, like, wave to them.
Yeah, yeah, you
did. And then, like, they'd wave back and then walk by and he'd
stab
just
in the back.
Stab in the back.
That's pretty great.
It's like, it makes me, like, I know if I get this game, I wouldn't get everything out of it that you would get, because I'm just not going to invest the time that you're going to invest, but it makes me want to play it just because of that kind of stuff.
It's a really, like, I don't know, like, I don't like hard games, and it is hard, but, like, it's so fun, and honestly, you don't need to invest that much time. Like, I've gotten as far as I have right now because a lot of times I'll enter a new area and I'll summon people and they'll fucking help me through the whole area. Like, they know where to, like, if you're summoning somebody, there's someone that's going back that wants to just get more souls. So, like, they know their whole way through the area. You summon them, they're just gonna basically hold your hand through it, beat everything for you. So.
That was the other thing. This guy was, like, standing in the area and he was, like, walking through like he knew where he was going. And then at some point he just stopped and let the other player walk in front of him.
get like hit by a trap or some shit. There was one really hard area called No Man's Wharf, and I got all the way to the end of end of the area with these guys, and said, "Okay, you've completed your objective with these guys, so they're leaving now." And they left. I was like, "Cool." There's a merchant there, and there's like a chest. I go and open the chest, and a bunch of fucking darts come out of the chest and kill me. I'm like, God damn it, man! Like, that game has evil shit in there like that. Like, well, it's part of the fun of it, though.
Well, speaking of fun stuff, we've all been playing some Titanfall. That evidently Jeff's Xbox One was hijacked, so he didn't get to play quite as much as...
He hasn't played as much as we have.
Yeah.
I've played a ton.
I don't know what level you guys are at, but he's leveled my roommate, like, has leveled me up a bunch. Like, I've got a bunch of shit unlocked.
I think I hit level 37 last night.
Dear God.
I hit 44 today, so...
Don't you guys have, like, wives and kids and...
It doesn't take that long, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, level 37 was, like, 8 hours of gameplay, maybe.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're... Because the more you play, I mean, you're getting more and more kills, and once you start getting into the, like, tier 4 and 5...
Those challenges are, like, you know, 10, 15,000 points.
Yeah. So, and then, like, especially the weapon ones, so if you're, you know, if you're hitting the challenges at the right time, like, you're gonna start racking in 20, 30, 40,000 points, like, on a challenge level, and that'll help you level real quick, even though, like, the overall level progression, I think, like, to 45, you need, like, 30-some thousand experience points, but... I mean, if you're pulling in 20, 25, 30,000 points for a challenge, you're going to be leveling pretty quickly.
Like, yeah.
So even in the later levels, like, you should be leveling, you know, once or twice an hour at the slowest, so.
Now, Chris, I'm assuming you've beaten both campaigns.
Yeah.
Which are, you know, basically exactly the same.
There's
a little bit of change. Yeah, there's one for the militia and one for the IMC.
Yeah.
And you kind of have to finish them both to get the
different titans.
The titans. I really like the ogre. I'm a big fan of the ogre.
That's like the really.
It's
bulky.
It's the slow, strong one.
Yeah.
Because I always find myself like I'm seeing all these other titans like dodging around. I suck at that. So I just want something that can like take punishment while I. Kill things.
The ogre can do that. it's bulky and strong. Whereas the strider doesn't take...
No. I played in the strider for like, I don't know, 5 minutes. I'm like, I don't know that I'll come back to this.
Yeah, like that seems like would... Like that seems like if you're going to be hunting pilots... Like, that might be a
right.
good one to use, but if you're, like, you don't want to face other titans in that.
No. You also, like, if you're not, don't have a titan that can't face other titans, it's tough to play online unless you're playing with people you know. Like,
right.
you have to, like, be able to, like, hide in a group and, like, dart in and out, and you can't do that a lot of times with randoms.
No. Because there's no teamwork or communication.
That's right.
Like
I spent a lot of time in the matches with randoms with my Titan, like trying to find another Titan on my team.
Right.
Like,
so, all right,
where are you at?
Because you want to like pair up with them, and then you cover their back, they cover yours, and you can kind of concentrate fire. Like if you come across one other Titan, like another enemy Titan, you know. Two guns firing at him is going to lower his shields, and once the shields are lowered, then...
It's pretty short work from there.
Yeah, it's just getting those shields down. But if the... Alright, like, no, there's an enemy... Where are you going?
Right.
Okay, I'm dead. Thanks.
Thank you for your help. It's nice to see you.
Yeah, it's... I kind of wish that there was a little more communication, like just, or incentive to kind of work as a team. It's like a lot of people are just like running off on their own.
Right. It's not a big problem in attrition, but in some of the other modes, it's really annoying.
Well, I mean,
like you have to play as a group in Hardpoint. You have to play as a group in.
Yeah, we were playing Hardpoint last night, and it was just like even though there were four or five of us working together, like if you come up against a team that like really knows how to do it, they'll just decimate you and quickly.
Yes.
I don't know. I really am enjoying it though. Like the more I play of it, so
it's the most fun I've had with the shooter in a long time.
Yeah.
It's,
I would say the same.
it does a great job with all the things that annoy you about shooters before. Like if the other team was really good and you were losing, the game wasn't fun.
Right.
And Titanfall solves that problem, and I've never actually seen a shooter try to solve that problem before.
Yeah, I think I kind of talked about that a little bit last week, where, like, it's just, like, you tell, like, put a lot of thought into how to make it balanced and fun, but it's, like, little things, like, at the end, even if you lose, it's, like, all right, get to the ship and get out of there, you know, like, you're still having fun even after you lost the goddamn match, you know what I mean?
Right, there's still incentive to, like, keep playing, and whereas in, you know, something like Call of Duty or Battlefield, like, when you see that you're going to lose, like, people to start dropping because
right,
and then it's even less fun for the people that are still in the match
because now you're like 6-on-3 and you're like, oh my god,
right? But like because the Titan timer keeps counting even after like you lose, so if you're like close, you could call your Titan in and get it to defend you, or and getting to the ship itself gets you a burn card and get you like an extra 200 experience points, which is
one of my favorite ones. I was surrounded, so my team is lost, and I'm running to the extraction, and I'm in my Titan, and there's two Titans on either side of me. They're obviously going to take me out. I managed to actually take out both Titans as they take me out, and of course my Titan has auto eject, so just at the end of the match, my pilot auto ejects right up into the extraction.
Oh, that's awesome.
Damn. Dude, that's probably one of my favorite little touches about the game is when you eject, how you go just flying way up, and you can do another jump when you're up in the air like that. Oh my god, dude. It's
like awesome. To get taken out by a pilot and then like auto eject and like land right behind him.
And I always have the nuclear, the nuclear option where like you explode.
Yeah, I use that as well, but I've noticed that people are getting smarter about it.
Yeah.
Because when they'll, like, dash back.
It's something. Easy to see now. Like, once you know what to look for, you can tell that the Titan is nuclear ejecting and get away.
Right.
Even if you melee the damn thing.
Yes, like, because, I mean, early on, I was really, like, just racking up. Like, I would run in, like, I'm low on health, so I would, like, run in between three other Titans. And just start like wailing away with my fist, and then eject out, and they're all still just kind of standing there, like, "Ha ha, we killed it!" And then, boom, just take them all out. But like now, I've noticed that like I'll eject out, and I'll see like them like kind of dash backwards, or like they won't be hanging around my Titan anymore. So now it's more of a matter of like kind of backing them into a corner and. But that's also something that's cool because that means that tactics have to change. Like, you can't rely on the same things that were working early on. Like, you need to find a new way to get around that stuff.
Hey, this is why I switched to auto eject.
Yeah, I have the auto eject. I like last night when I put my Xbox back in my room, I like built a loadout for me. But what gun do you guys recommend for the Titan?
I like the 40mm.
40mm.
I'm a big fan of that one. I've been using the chain gun, but the 40 seems to be like a nice all-purpose gun. Good versus Titans, good versus pilots.
Everybody's saying like he sticks to chain gun, he likes it. I forgot what I equipped last night.
The chain gun is nice if you're fighting like infantry and pilots, but if it's like another Titan, you're probably outgunned.
I have like exclusively used the chain gun, and it's a matter of like, as you kind of said earlier, like where Titans are dashing back and forth, you really need to be able to be mobile in your Titan if you're going to use the chain gun against them, because you need to lower down their shields, and then once the shields are lowered, it opens up critical hit locations on the Titans. You'll see that they glow red, and if you hit there, it does double damage, but you really need to be able to aim. So, like, just going, like, toe-to-toe with one, like, you're not going to be able to hold your ground, so you kind of want to be able to move around and hope that there's another Titan in the area to kind of cover you as well.
There's Chris's strategy versus my strategy, which is toe-to-toe with the ogre, blasting away with the 40 millimeter and rockets. Take it down quick.
You could tell when you're playing against people that don't really know how to operate Titans, though, because they'll just, like, unload on you, and you'll throw up the vortex shield or whatever. And they have the vortex shield equipped, but they'll just allow you to throw all their ordnance back at them.
Yeah, I sometimes forget to do it myself, but that's just, I haven't been playing enough, you know.
Right.
And once I remember, I, like, remember too late after he's unloaded on me, like, oops.
It's like, I could have pressed that button. I don't know if I've played on all the maps yet, though, like.
Really?
I'm not sure.
I thought the campaign cycled through every map.
No, because there's another, there's 9 maps in the campaign.
Oh, and there's 13?
15? I think, yeah. I'm not sure, like, there's...
Maybe some of the maps are game type exclusive.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if you were... I think you might have been playing with us last one. We played on, like, Lagoon, which is, like, this little... Like, that one's cool, that one's not in the campaign.
That's a great map.
Yeah.
I've had some good matches there with the shotgun, because there's all those places, like, the hide, like, under the buildings.
Yeah.
And, like, pop out.
Yeah, you could just, like... You notice that your hard point or whatever is getting taken down. It's like you just run in and they're all standing around and you just unload on them. And they don't even know where you came from. Did you finish the campaign?
I finished both campaigns, yeah.
I thought the militia campaign was better fleshed out.
Yeah. then the other one, which was just very,
what's going,
I guess,
like,
militant.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't understand, like, what's going on in the IMC campaign, and for some reason a robot overtakes at the end. Like,
well, because the didn't the guy get hurt or something?
Well, it's the next to last mission is the battle for Demeter or whatever.
Yeah,
and. No matter which side you're playing on, that mission ends badly for either team.
Right.
But yeah, so it's like, if you're losing, it goes, everybody get to the evac point, and the little robot guy comes over and is like, no, cancel that. Evac ships have been diverted. And he tells you that, like, they, I guess it's gonna, a nuclear explosion or whatever. That's it, like that and the commander guy. It's like, I don't know who you guys are, or I don't care.
And it's so hard to follow the campaign while you're fighting in the damn matches.
Right.
It's like, there's stuff going on, but I'm focusing on, you know, the Titan in front of me. It's just kind of distracting.
Yeah, the militia does a little bit better with that. Like, you kind of get some, I wouldn't even say they're cutscenes, but you get some, like, sort of animations and stuff before the matches start, like... I think it's the third match. You're going down to I think the map's called Relic, but the Odyssey, it's the big ship that's kind of... It's a big rusted ship that's sitting there, and your drop ship kind of pulls down, and McAllen is standing there over some grave markers or whatever.
Right.
He kind of gives you instruction, and then on another one, like the chick whose name is Sarah, I think, like she kind of instructs you on, like, you actually drop her off. She jumps on to a rooftop, and she's going to do some other mission while you guys go handle something else. And then the battle for Demeter, McAllen comes down in an ogre.
Right.
And he leads you through So, like, there's stuff like that, and it's like, all right, so I'm, like, beginning to learn who these people are. I'm not really sure what's going on, but...
Right, or why I care about them, but they're right here. Hello, Sarah.
Right. It's like, I guess I know your name now, because...
It's kind of a cursory attempt to, like, develop a universe and a brand, I suppose, but I think the gameplay does it for them.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily sure the campaign was even necessary.
Yeah,
it's like weird to satisfy a certain subset who feel like there should be something.
Yeah, but I don't know if it satisfied those people or not.
No.
I think, like, maybe if they had just done, like, another two or three different game modes and not focused any time on campaign,
right,
probably would have been better.
Right. I mean, it's also probably one of those things, they just, you know, they could have delayed the game another few months to, like, really flesh it out, and
right,
that just wasn't worth it.
I also think that maybe if they had made some sort of consequence for losing or winning, like, because
instead of everything just happening.
Yeah, it's like, so, like, the first mission, if you're playing as the militia or as the IMC, it doesn't matter. So the militia's coming in, they're trying to steal fuel from, it's the map Fracture, and it's a hardpoint map, so, like, the objective is, like, they're holding the hardpoints, and the longer they hold the hardpoints, the more fuel they get. But it doesn't matter whether you win or lose, because at the end of the match, like, if the militia doesn't get, like, if the militia loses, the IMC wins, or, like, the militia, the audio thing at the end is like, well, we got enough fuel to last us, like, another couple months. It's not as much fuel as we wanted, but it's enough to keep this thing going, because otherwise it would be really dumb. I don't know. It's, if you want to get easy wins, though, go back into campaign.
Right. And play with all, like, the level one people.
Yeah. So, there's multiple achievements for the campaign, but, there's two individual ones. There's one for, winning all of them as an IMC pilot, and one for winning all as a militia pilot. And I went back and got both of them. They were pretty easy. Because I guess other people were kind of chasing that as well. And you're getting paired up against brand new players that don't know what the hell is going on or how to
right
play.
And they're just dying.
Yeah. Like, they're playing attrition when it's hard point.
They're, like, running out in the middle invisible.
Yeah.
Not realizing that you can actually see them. I saw a lot of people doing that. It's like, you guys do realize that the cloaking doesn't work when your pilot's standing in front of you.
Right.
Whatever.
it's pretty funny, but... and you've been using the shotgun, you said, now?
Yeah, so I started out with the... what is it, the carbine?
Yeah.
And switched to the smart pistol, which I wasn't a big fan of. Like, it's really good at killing, like, the AI guys.
Yeah.
But with pilots, if they get too close, it's, like, it's hard to get a lock, and it just takes too long to, like, kill anyone with it. The shotgun, on the other hand, you always seem to be in really close quarters, so it's easy to get off good shots with it, and I am getting a lot more kills now.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, I put the suppressor on it, and it feels like I need to, like, be right up on their head to get anything.
See, I use the suppressor too, but I don't know, I'm sneaky.
But yeah, I started using the smart pistol today, and yeah, like, locking on two pilots is tedious at best.
Right. I'm sure it's a great weapon if you have no idea how to play a shooter. Like, I can't aim or something. But...
Or if you're going to be, like, if you're not going to engage people head on.
Right.
Like, if you're more going to sneak around a board or whatever, like, that'll work because, like, you can definitely get up and stand behind somebody and just
right
hold that gun there.
But still, even then, like, sometimes you can get the full three shots, still not kill the person.
Yeah, it has to go completely red, so.
You're like, all right, do I need to hold for a five lock? And by then they've, like, gone around a corner and
right
you've missed your chance for the shot. And you're like, damn it.
Well, I started using it, and I find it's okay, but, like, I'm sitting there, and now you're starting to see people kind of try and play it like Call of Duty, where they're camping in windows or corners, and so if you sneak up on them and like you see them in a window, it's like, well, I could hold my gun here and hope for the lock, or I could just go up and snap their neck.
Right.
Why wouldn't I do that? Because it's quicker. So I think I'm just going to like run a couple challenges on that and then move to maybe the SMG or something, give that a shot.
I like the folks trying to play like Call of Duty. They tend to die pretty quick.
Yeah, or
they don't get the verticality elements. Like they're kind of just not moving very much, and you're like running like around them and over them and behind them, and they just die a lot.
Or they don't die a lot, but they're only killing pilots. Where especially if you're playing attrition, like every kill really matters. So you see some of these guys that they'll end up with like 7 or 8 pilot kills, but no grunt kills, no AI.
No grunt kills, no Titan kills.
Right. So it's like, good job, buddy. Like, all right, you got me 5 times, but I'll take my five kills, 5 deaths versus human opponents, and I'll take my 20 AI kills. and my 70 overall points. So.
And the win.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Some people just don't get it. The worst though are the ones that don't understand like the objective based games, and they're still trying to play it like attrition. Just you need to hold that. Okay, you're gonna die. You realize that, right?
Why are you running out there? I see the Titan. It's fine, but the Titan is standing out there. It's not in here.
And they can't get in here. Like, this is an enclosed space that they have to leave their Titan and come in. Like, if they want to take the point, they'll come in. Yeah. So it's like that's the only time I think camping actually benefits is with hardpoint, but people are just running all over the place in that anyway. It's not a big deal. I think Fozzie has joined us.
Hello.
Fozzie!
You have anything to add to Titanfall?
I'm sure you've already gone over it pretty good.
Just like yes, and I have nothing to say.
Yeah, you've probably done it ever since I've gotten on, or since the podcast started. But, yeah. I don't know. It's a lot of fun. I don't know if I'm going to be addicted to it as I thought I might be. Like, yes, it's going to be great to like kind of pick up and play every now and then, but it is pretty bare bones when you get down to it. I do like the fact that you progress so fast though. It's nice. Like, I feel like I've never gotten to like the regen state of a Call of Duty game or any game for that matter that's a first-person shooter. So Titanfall will probably be my first game ever I do that. And I feel like I don't even want to regen because that seems like a good stopping, like, kind of like, I don't know if I get to regen to level 50 or something, so.
Right. I think you will level up faster, though, after you,
You do, yeah, but
move to
like,
next gen.
It's not like a huge amount.
Well, level 2 was evidently like a 10% boost, but by the time you get to like level like 8 or 9, you're earning like 300% experience.
Yeah.
So I saw like the guy, somebody actually hit 10 last week.
Yeah, somebody hit 10 within like, I couldn't believe how fast they did it.
Yeah.
They must have done nothing else since the game came out except play.
Just sat there and played. I saw his, the kind of like the screen grab of where he actually regen to the 10th gen. And, I think it was like 350% experience boost for level 10. So, I mean, that's what, like 450 points per kill? I think your challenges reset, so you're...
Right.
You're boosting.
Assuming you get boosts
really
on those as well.
Yeah, so you could be back really quickly. I don't know. I think I will probably regen, especially since I'm already at 44. So,
like, I'm like, yeah, might as well do it now because I'm close enough, and you seem to level up pretty fast.
Yeah.
I think what will determine, I mean, I think the game has enough legs to like put in like a good like 30-40 hours.
Right.
We'll see how good the DLC is.
Yeah, and supposedly they're going to be adding new modes and some stuff for free. So
right.
Hopefully they add some stuff that like will keep us playing.
Right. That's more than anything. How well do they manage the community? How do they get people? How do they keep people playing? And we don't know that stuff yet.
Right. I'm little. Like, kind of concerned about their DLC because it seems like it's going to be three map packs.
Yeah, that's what they said.
But I mean, you already have 15 maps, so it's like they really need to add some extra game modes and stuff, and hopefully we get some cool stuff there. But I hope that they don't also go like, oh, we need a pilot only mode. So at that point, it's just Call of Duty, and it's like...
Right. Like, why would you want that?
Right. I mean, what makes the game cool is the Titans and the being able to have so much on screen at once to kill that...
It does seem to be missing a lot of features you see in a lot of other shooters, though, in terms of customization. Like, it's weird to me that I can, like, arm my Titan, but I can't, like, paint it cool colors and...
Yeah.
Like, all that stuff that doesn't really matter, but I kind of feel like other games have, but isn't here.
But it does matter a little bit,
like... You want your Titan to be yours.
Right.
And, like, my Titan just looks like everybody else's Titan.
Like to be able to add, like some decals or some right. color schemes or whatever to it. And...
Damn it, I want a laser sight with a happy face.
I think they're... really conservative as far as like what they wanted to do and how they want to. I mean, obviously they're going to make a sequel to this.
Right. They've already announced that EA's said today that they were going to be putting out the sequel.
So it's obviously done well for them.
Yeah.
But obviously like you're probably going to have more mechs, more customization, and it's probably going to focus a lot more on that. Just customization in general, your character and your mech too. So, probably a more fleshed out campaign. So, I mean, this one, like, it almost feels like kind of like a test for, okay, will this work? Like, is there a market for this? And, you know.
It's a great entry level game to a series, I think.
I mean, like, you have to realize, like, it's not the same studio where they probably have, like, a ton of money. They probably have to be very...
It's less than 100 people.
Right.
And Respawn.
Right. So, I mean, with the success of this one, I mean, I'm sure you're going to see everything that people wanted. But, you know, it's, you can't put everything at once, you know? I'm sure they already had a ton of ideas for it, but.
Right.
I think it was kind of smart, too, to aim a little smaller with it. Like, just get it right, get that multiplayer right. Like, I bet you the second one has a campaign, like a real campaign.
Right.
You know? They'll have the money.
Yeah, with like, could you imagine like a co-op campaign like Gears of War-ish? That'd be great, you know?
Oh my god.
Yeah, I can totally see that. So, I mean, like Hefe's saying, yeah, it's just, it's smart kind of just to, okay, we're gonna bring out the multiplayer because that's what people are gonna want.
Yeah, let's see how you guys like this game. Will people play it?
I have to say though, they'd have to do a lot of work with the AI to make it a good single player game because it's pretty rudimentary. They're just out there to die. I mean, really.
Really? I think I've been killed
by a Spectre once. And that's the only time I've been killed by an AI, like, in my entire time with the game. And it was, like, a pilot was shooting at me. I ended up, like, landing in the middle of, like, four Spectres and died.
I've been killed by grunts before, but usually it's, like... I mean, I'm just running in, like, really badly, so, I mean...
Right, it's like that,
Yeah, it's like a... Like, maybe happens, like, every 10 games or so.
Yeah, you just you lose track of what's going on. around you as you're trying to like escape a human person that is chasing you.
Right.
And you just like it's that, you know, Han Solo Chewbacca moment in Star Wars where they run into the mess hall and it's like, oh shit.
Right. I think, yeah, again, they definitely are stormtroopers to the T. I would assume that they're probably going to have like an AI difficulty adjuster similar to a Halo or something like that where, you know.
I don't think it's a question of a difficulty. I don't think the AI, like, is built.
They're there to help you. at this point, they really are, like creeps in Dota or
League of Legends,
like to just kind of like help you quickly drop your Titan counter.
Right. There's no like, there's obviously no thinking or
and make,
like,
to make Jeff feel better about himself.
Right. That's one of the things though. Like at least even if you're having like a crappy match, like I've had some matches where I've killed like no one, like zero kills and five deaths, but you end up killing like 20 grunts. You're like, there was somebody I was more badass than anyway.
Right.
Yeah, well, it's just, it's like I said, like, they put a lot of thought into how to make a fun multiplayer game for anyone of any skill level, because you feel like, I don't know how to distinguish between a grunt and like an actual person, so like, I'm just like, oh, I just killed somebody, yes, you know? Like, I don't know.
I think Hefe brings up a good point, though, is that I don't think the AI is that bad, it's just that their bullets don't do shit to you, so like, if they were to actually, like, hurt you as much as a human player, I think the AI would actually be pretty hard to kill because...
They don't move very much. They don't hide behind stuff. It's...
I mean,
settled down.
Bots,
like... No, but they run around, like, enough where, like, I've seen them a couple times, like, do some parkour stuff and things of that nature where you have to kind of double take, see if they were human or not. And at the same time, yeah, obviously, yeah, they're not going to be super grunts. I mean, like, look at Halo. Like, I probably imagine them like the grunts for that game, you know? Kind of canon.
I have seen what you're talking about, Fozzie. Like, I'll you know, double jump myself up to a roof or something. Actually, it just happened on I think it was Boneyard. And so I had, like, moved myself up to this roof and... I turn around and this thing is climbing up and it was a specter. Like, it wasn't, like I was expecting maybe a pilot or something had followed me up, but yeah, a specter had, like a drop pod had dropped right below the building I was in and this specter had climbed up there. So it was like, alright, that's different. I wasn't expecting that. Because I'm used to them kind of just like, I mean, sometimes they'll take cover in a building, but I've never seen them climb up on top of anything and, you know, try and pursue anybody, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've seen them climb up stuff, but they tend to just, like, get up there and then stop.
Yeah, like, they stare blankly at you, like.
Like, I'm always landing in the middle of groups of, like, four enemies that aren't moving. Like, oh, it's bots, and now they're all dead. I get in trouble, though. Sometimes you're, like, killing them, and then, like, an actual person walks up and shoots you.
Yeah, well, as Jeff said, it's hard to distinguish, like, especially depending upon what, you know, gun you're using, because that distinguishes kind of what your kit looks like. So, like, if you're, you know, using a shotgun or something, you kind of blend in with the grunts. And aside from being, like, your name being above your head, like, if you're just running in and kind of shooting at the grunts, like, all of a sudden you get this guy who kind of looks like a grunt, but he's definitely packing something that's more powerful.
And, it's interesting about no customization that everyone does look like each other, and it is different from one another, but anyways. Yep.
I don't know. We'll see. I'm still having fun with it.
How long I'll be in the mood for it.
I see myself playing more of it than... I don't know if I'll be going back to Battlefield or...
Right. That's just it. Like, I'm sick of Battlefield. I'm sick of Call of Duty. This is different.
Yeah.
Thank God.
And it should be different enough to hold me over at least until Destiny and like, Halo... Like a proper Halo multiplayer game show up on Xbox One, so.
Yeah, I mean, and we have it like a good minute. Like they did bring it out at a good time where, you know, there's not too much as far as like cool competitive multiplayer that's coming out.
Right.
Like you have maybe Infamous is a big AAA title, but I mean I can't really name too many more that until like, you know, for a few months, honestly.
So moving off Titanfall, though I think might be more news on that later. But
yes.
I played some South Park. So I played quite a bit of South Park, actually.
It's Paper Mario with South Park.
Yeah, it's as Jeff and Don had said, like watching a season of the show. And the gameplay is very, very simplistic, but it's fun enough that it pulls you through to the funny parts. And I think Jeff had talked about last week the where you're a gnome, and you are.
Oh, you got to that part already?
Yeah, that was fucked up.
Oh, fuck me, fuck me! And like, it's like shit that people would actually say while they're having sex, like really, really raunchy shit.
Yeah.
And like they're in the background, and then you're in the battle, and the boobs and the balls are flying
yeah.
by.
Yeah. You're actually on the bed fighting like the gnome shaman, and your dad's balls just come down from the sky, and you have to do some time button presses to dodge it, and then at the end your mom's boobs crush the gnome. It's like you are fighting underneath her as she's getting railed by your dad. It's so wrong. the game itself, quite funny. I'm not a big fan of the fart magic.
Yeah, those, cause like, it's weird, cause they teach you how to do it one way, right? Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They teach you how to, like, there's like a little training, like, it's like a new magic power you get, right? As you go along. They'll teach you how to do it one way in the training, but then in actual practice, it's not quite the same.
It doesn't work that way.
And it's
you have to be
weird.
Perfect in the training, or else you have to do it again.
Yeah, I remember there was one I was stuck on for a minute. I forgot which one. I know exactly. The one where you had to do like the wandering fart, where like you could like
the sneaky squeaker. Or
yeah,
whatever.
The squeaker. Yeah, like I remember like that one. I was stuck on it for like a day, and then finally I figured out what you're supposed to do. I was like, oh, duh, but like I did a bad job of explaining it. But then when you, like, actually have to use these things and, like...
Yeah, it doesn't work like that.
It doesn't work the same way as what they teach you. It's like, why don't you make the tutorial exactly how it would be when you're... Like, it does, that makes no sense. That seems like a really weird design choice there.
Yeah.
And I'm not a fan of them. Like, I don't use the farts, like, at all, almost anyways. But I do think that the battle system has a little more complexity to it than Paper Mario, even though it is a Paper Mario copy, you know.
Yeah, I mean there's some special powers. You can attack with like a light, a heavy attack, or a magic attack. And then you have your skills. And you're also controlling one AI partner as well. Companion, so.
One thing I do like that I'm pretty sure I didn't mention last week, though, is, like, once you're done with a battle, your HP and all that, like, restores.
Yeah, yeah,
so, like, you don't, like, I love that, because there are games, right, where they do that, where it's, like, if you are down to, like, nothing at the end of the battle, that's what you're stuck with. Like, you better have some potions or shit.
Yeah. And it took me a little while to figure out some of the status effects, too. It's, like, if you're grossed out, which is, like, the poison... status effect in this game, you can't actually use a health packet or anything. You have to actually cure yourself first before you can eat some snacky poofs or whatever.
Yeah.
But the game I'm finding it, like, very funny, very well written, and it looks exactly like the show. Like your guy kind of like. You know, when he walks, he does that kind of choppy animation.
Yeah.
It's just like really, really kind of fun. You kind of want to go, you want to do the main quest. Like, at least I want to do the main quest, like, because it's pushing you in that direction and you're going to get that next bit of, like, crazy fun story. And I, I have a feeling I'm going to go back and try and play it again, because there's a couple other... I think there's like four different classes, and one of them is the Jew class.
Yeah.
Like, I'm playing as like the fighter or whatever, so it's like brute strength, but yeah, there's actually an achievement for finding Jesus as a Jew. So I want to go back and try and get one of them, and yeah, I'm enjoying it. The Taco Bell storyline is absurd, and but it's really hitting all, like, if you're a fan of South Park, as Jeff and Don said, like, it hits on all that. It's definitely, like, pure fan service, and all the characters that you, like, kind of know and love are there. And
it's an authentic South Park, dude.
Yeah, yeah. And it's wrong. So many levels. Just, I mean, like, that, the you know, the mom and dad sex scene with you as a gnome, that's like, that's one thing, but there's so many other things that are just...
You've gotten to, like, did you get to the Nazi zombie aborted fetuses?
No.
Nazi zombie aborted fetuses. Yeah. It's just, like, everything that is the most offensive thing ever combined.
Yeah. I'm pleasantly surprised by it. Like, it's a lot of fun. I'm glad it turned out well. Tony, you've been playing Age of Wonders 3?
Oh, yes. Boy. So Age of Wonders 2 came out, I think, in 2002, and then the studio moved on to those... God, what was it? Like, Overlord?
Okay.
If you remember those games, which weren't particularly good, but the Age of Wonders games are great, or were great. This one I've played a little bit of. I'm in the closed beta right now, so I'm playing with not final code, so there's still some stuff going on. But basically, it's an RPG / turn-based strategy game where you, like, command an army and, like, bring it into combat that's really similar to, like, XCOM, except with, you know, dwarves and archers and whatever. It's really similar to another game I played, Fallen Enchantress, which I talked about a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So basically you move through, you level up your guy, you're like casting spells during these battles. The thing that matters more in this game, in a lot of this stuff, in a lot of the games in this genre, the terrain and the unit position doesn't matter, but in this, like, they seem to have focused a lot more on, like, the tactical combat and having, like, flanks and, like, moving your guys like they're actually in an army. So those elements are kind of cool. But it's nice to see them come back to, like, a classic franchise that has been gone for a really long time that a lot of people liked and missed. There's been a lot of titles in the genre lately, so it's also kind of interesting to see where they are in relation to those other games. But like I said, I'm not playing with final code yet, so we'll see where they actually end up being, but so far I'm very pleasantly surprised. It's a very pretty game, and also very fun. So.
And that launches later this month, right?
Like, I believe the last day of March.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was the game you said to hold on.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of people I know who really like strategy games who have played it have really enjoyed it, so...
Cool. I guess that's it for what we've been playing. Fozzie, you been playing anything else, or just pretty much let's hit some news, Tony, before Jeff has to leave us.
Jeff has to leave us? Is he falling asleep?
No, Fozzie's seen a picture of what I'm about to do.
Oh, God, I don't even want to know now.
Fozzie, you have your phone on you?
Alright, let's go with Titanfall news, then, because I don't want to see this picture.
Titanfall news.
The Xbox 360 version of Titanfall was delayed again. The story I'm looking at says it's originally scheduled for March 25th, which is actually wrong. It was originally scheduled to release the same day as the Xbox One version, but now has been pushed back twice. And will now be launching on April 8th in North America.
Not bad. My question though is it like another developer porting it or another developer developing from the
developing it completely because they can't port because the two systems are completely incompatible.
But that seems kind of weird to me since this is like a brand new studio. I don't know, like who's the developer that's doing it? Like that's the thing. I don't even know that.
Bluepoint.
Yeah, I'd never heard of the studio.
Yeah, I'm not sure who they are.
It could definitely be a fun game on 360. I mean,
the thing that worries me though is whenever they ask someone from Respawn about it, they're like, "Oh, we had nothing to do, absolutely nothing to do with that version."
That's weird. That's weird.
EA is claiming that the two versions are like comparable. So, but that's,
must have been
again, EA is marketing
though.
It.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. It must have been EA all the way. Where if like you know, what the fuck is their name? Respawn didn't want to do it at all and wanted nothing to do with it.
Well, Respawn has said that most of the, or a lot of the calculations that occur in Titanfall occur on the server system, which is unique to Xbox One, which makes me kind of wonder how the game even works on 360.
Well, I mean, the PC version is using those same, I think the, what is this, whatever the cloud system that... Azure or whatever,
right.
whatever the cloud server system that the Microsoft has, I believe they're using that same architecture. So maybe there's a way that they could tap into that. I don't know.
It's just weird how they've hidden it. Like no one in the gaming press has seen this version, which is just odd. You'd think that if this was like ready for showtime, that they would. You know
well,
what? Somebody have looked
yeah,
at
I mean,
it.
I mean, definitely now. Like, I can understand not showing it beforehand. You want to show, like, you want to show the version that is obviously going to look the best. And
like the initial delays made sense to me. Like, I understand that they want the Xbox One to be at the forefront.
Right.
They know this is a title that people would buy an Xbox One to play. Great. The second delay is worrisome. It says to me that there's something going on that's not quite so good.
Well, these are short delays, though. You're talking it's going to be out in a couple of weeks. I mean,
I wouldn't be surprised if this gets pushed again. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that would happen, but I wouldn't be surprised. But to answer your question, Blue Point Games is basically a port house. All of their games, I believe, except maybe the first one they worked on, have been either ports or HD remakes of older games. So they're the team that did the God of War collection for PlayStation 3, Ico and Shadow of the Colossus collection, they did the Metal Gear Solid HD collection, they did the Vita port of PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, and they did the PlayStation 4 and Vita port of Flower.
Okay.
And now they're doing a backwards port.
Yeah. And now they're doing Titanfall, so.
It could be, you know, for people, you never know. I mean, it could be, if you don't have Xbox One yet, it's a fun game. Like, I don't think the game relies...
I don't think
its strength is on its graphics or anything.
No.
Like, that is
I mean,
nice.
the engine they're using is the Source engine, so you're talking an engine that's like, what? That was...
That was Half-Life 2, right?
2, so 2006. Like it's like an 8-year-old engine or something like that. Like, it's not anything new, that's for sure.
Is that the engine that the Titanfall we're playing uses?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Like, it's a modified version of that, for sure, but, I mean, it's the same engine that... I mean, that's the engine that...
Portal and...
Yeah, Left 4 Dead was on, and... I'm sure there's some other stuff that's out
it
there,
is,
too.
I mean, it's an impressive-looking game, I think. Like, but as I was playing it, I was like, I don't know, there's probably shit that it couldn't be done on 360, but it looks like a game I could have played on 360, you know?
I think the funny thing about graphics in a game like that, like, it moves so fast. Like,
yeah,
who is taking the time to look at stuff?
There's, like, all this little particle shit going on that, like, you might not appreciate, you know, might not have the time, you know, it's like a blink of an eye, like you said.
I am wondering, because, like, from what I hear, Titanfall on Xbox One runs at, like, 50, 60 frames per second. rumors that I have heard is that the 360 version is going to run at 30, which to me that seems slow. I mean, Call of Duty runs at 60 on the 360, and that's a fast game. I don't know. I mean, it could be good, and if you only have a 360, I mean, maybe yeah. It's worth it.
I mean, if it is like, if the gameplay is matches what is on Xbox One, fuck yeah, I get it.
Yeah, it should do fine. I won't be playing it there.
No, there's no reason to.
No.
You have the Xbox One version or the PC version, then why would you?
Right. Any other news going on?
Oh, yes. How about some Sony news with several fronts? We'll start with game development because, you know, that's so exciting. The creative director of God of War 3 and the lead designer of Infamous Second Son, which is coming out on Friday, have both left Sony.
Oh. The latter one is
the latter one is a little troubling, as no one has discussed why he left Sucker Punch, and it may not have been voluntarily.
And that game is just about to hit too.
Yes.
So. I mean, I don't know if that says anything bad about Infamous, but
might say something. I think it might say more about him personally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because everything I've seen so far from Second Son has looked fantastic.
Right.
People are hyped for that game.
Yeah, well, I mean, there hasn't been anything else on the PS4 to really, like, get hyped for. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's... Like, if you look at Killzone, like, Shadowfall is the best-selling Killzone game, or just about to become the best-selling Killzone game since 2. And...
It's the only damn thing.
Yeah, there's nothing else to play on it. Like, it's not that it's... Like, I think Infamous definitely looks like a better game than Killzone, but as Tony said, there's nothing to play on that system right now. Like, this is the first big game since launch, so...
And there are people who are just big in that series, and I can see why. I liked the first one. I thought it was a really fun game.
Yeah, I liked the first one. The second one kind of just was more the first one.
Yeah, I had no appetite for more of it. Like, I appreciated what it was doing, like, the first one, but I was like, that's good, cool, thanks.
I mean, I think this one definitely sets itself apart, since it doesn't follow that same storyline. It's a whole new character, and there's evidently not a whole lot of tie to the previous events, but... I don't know. To your point, though, Jeff, where it's like... It's really not as popular as people kind of make the series out to be, though. The original Infamous sold less than 3 million copies, and Infamous 2 was like 1.5.
A lot of people were saying that was the end of the series after 2.
Yeah.
Because it didn't sell very well.
Well, Sony has a track record of just supporting what they want to support, which is one thing I appreciate about it. You know?
I think to Infamous's advantage in this case, there's nothing else to play.
Right.
Yeah.
It's going to sell copies because people will have to buy it.
Yeah, if I had PS4, I'd probably pick it up. I mean...
I would.
Yeah.
There's no way that you couldn't.
Like, the first one was like a really cool combination of a platformer and a shooter. Which is kind of what the Ratchet games were, but, you know.
I mean, you think, like, platformer? Like, I thought more like open world, but...
There were sections in Infamous 1 where you'd go under in the sewers, and it was a lot of platforming.
Okay.
Those were, like, some of my favorite parts about it, so...
Yeah, and I mean, and there was the... Like, you could ride the rails once you got the power going.
Oh, fuck yeah.
You definitely be, like, fly around and stuff.
But most of the powers just kind of, like, went back to, like, standard shooter tropes. Like, you had grenades and...
Yeah.
You shot lightning, but it was like shooting a gun.
I'll be playing it after I finish South Park.
Speaking of ride the rails, though... Can I just express again how disappointed I am that the new Tony Hawk game is a mobile game?
You can.
I just want to throw it out there one more time. Didn't you guys reveal that to me last week? I was like, no, shut up. No, wait, no.
Yep.
Crushing my dreams, you bastards.
Sorry. Sony's had, they've had some hits, though, like, personnel-wise.
Yes.
I mean, Amy Hennig, just, you know, she's gone from Naughty Dog, and...
Yeah, in terms of Game Dome, Microsoft had a couple departures this past weekend as well.
Yeah.
Former head of Xbox, for example.
For a long time.
Yeah. Although I will say, when you start looking at people in those kind of positions, in the corporate world, you try to transition them out. Like, normally their, like, retirement is based on achieving certain incentives, and once you achieve those, then it's like you either spend another 4 years working towards the next one, or you retire now, and...
Right. So, who was that? Mark Whitten?
Yeah.
He's who left, so.
And he went to some company. What company did he go to?
He went to a sound company. What are the fuck they called?
Sonos?
Sonos, yeah.
What is the company? What do they do?
They do, like, sound and stuff. I think they make headphones and shit.
Huh.
Maybe. I definitely think they're, like, in the sound business.
Okay.
I think they're, like, comparable to, like, Bose and shit.
Seems like a step down, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, I feel like it was a step down, too. They must have offered him a really sweet job.
Or maybe he had fear of how long he was going to be able to stick around at Microsoft. You know, that could be, I don't know.
Maybe.
Speculation.
I mean, you know, Microsoft is under, like, the corporation itself is under brand new leadership, so.
Right. That's the other thing. Kicking people out who don't really fit with the new.
This guy's
regime.
New thought process, so. Maybe he saw the writing on the wall and was like, yeah, it's time for me to go. Xbox One's doing alright. 360 was good. I'm out.
Never know.
Yep. Any other news?
Oh yeah, a little bit more Sony news. They revealed Project Morpheus.
No.
Oh yeah, I didn't hear anything about that.
Their virtual reality headset.
Is it amazing?
Well, having not used it myself, I don't know, but apparently it has a 1080p display. And allows for, like, a full 360 degrees of head tracking. It also requires the PlayStation camera, so.
Weird.
And move.
Will it have
move.
Porn?
Would it have porn? Probably not.
Can we make porn?
If you want porn, there's already porn for the Oculus Rift, so.
Is there really?
Yes.
No, but I was just saying.
And there's like a virtual vagina for you to stick your thing in.
That's but I was just saying in general. can we make porn?
Could you make porn? You could probably hack a PS4 and make porn.
Yeah, not
if you really wanted to.
I'm just saying, can we make porn?
You can make. You don't even need this to make porn, Jeff. I'm sure you could make porn on your own without having to have any of this equipment.
I'll send you pics.
No, it's all right.
I mean, I think this goes in the book with some of Sony's other fantastic ideas like 3D TV and the Move, with things that will probably be executed very well and be a nice feature to add and be an utter financial failure because nobody really wants them.
I'll be honest. I think, like, virtual reality is more appealing to me than like a motion controller, but at the same time, I can see that.
But you need the motion controller to use this thing.
Like, you need to buy a bunch of stuff to have
this.
Yeah,
no, and that usually spells failure, you know. But,
they're always getting statements from, like, Ubisoft was saying that they would love to make a game for these, like, virtual reality devices. one of them needs to sell more than a million units before they'll get, like, even begin.
Yeah. Sony has to prove it. Like, if anything, bundle it with something like they do with Sports Champions, but, you know, bundle it with something that people are going to be blown away by.
And it has to be at a decent price point, too, right? Like,
which is, like, hard, because yeah. that sounds like pretty heavy technology.
Well, I mean, I saw...
The Rift launched their new dev kit today, right?
Yeah, $350.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Well, good luck getting a consumer to pay for that.
And the Sony one, it looks great, like, but... One, it's a really bulky piece of equipment, and like you're talking, it needs a $60 camera. I don't know how much the Move itself costs, but it needs that. And then, like, even if you get it to be like $200, you're talking like $300 or so for extra expenditures for somebody to jump in on this. And I don't know, like, even as somebody who likes like cool tech. That seems like asking a lot for something like this.
Hello.
To grasp, like, for mainstream consumption.
Yeah, I mean, it seems destined to a niche market until they can find a way to make it cheaper.
I mean, even then, do you actually see a lot of people, like...
I know I don't want that thing on my head.
Right. Like, I mean, it's already... You kind of like, you know, you're sitting and playing your games in front of your TV or your computer monitor, but, you know, you add like this giant headpiece thing where you are totally immersed in it. I think then maybe my wife starts looking at me like I'm even more crazy than I already am.
You guys played the Rift yet?
No, no.
Shit is legit.
Oh, you've tried it, Fozzie?
Yeah, I have.
What was it like a demo or like what do you do?
Yeah, I played two of them. Dude, it is insane. Like, it is the real deal. It really fucks with your head too because you don't understand, like, your brain doesn't comprehend what's going on because you kind of freak out for a second. You're like, okay, where is the TV? Like, where does it end? And then you realize, oh shit, I'm in this world. And so the first one was just this, like, I was in a plane and I could guide the plane everywhere I wanted to go, which was really fucking cool because, again, you can do, like, barrel rolls and you look to your right. And you
barrel roll.
Land. And the second one was, unfortunately, I wanted to play Hawken, and then they had a racing simulator, but I had to play the racing one. It wasn't even a simulator. You sat there and you watched, like, the race play out. But even that was really cool because, again, with the microphone or with the headset on, plus, like, the glasses, you are, like, fully immersed in that world. It's crazy. You will not, if you played it, you'd be like, honey, I don't give a fuck what you think of me. I won't play this.
Would you buy it?
Yeah. I was thinking about buying that 350 VR set. Because the development kit too. Because I figure, like, well, what am I going to put on the PS4 besides Infamous? That money could go towards the Oculus. It's a beautiful piece of work. I don't know. We'll see though.
I'd love to try it out, but
dude, once you play, you are going to fall in love. Like, it's just, you know, you think about like the old days of virtual reality and like what that entailed and
Lawnmower Man.
Well, just like, I remember like, when I go to like, you know, super bulky, you would have to like, wear this ridiculous headset. This one didn't feel bad, like, you didn't really feel too strained. And now, the second one's like, even lighter, so you feel less strained. And it's really cool. Yeah, you look like an idiot playing it, cause you're just looking around. You feel like you're like a newborn baby, like, watching someone play it. Just like exploring, but it's really cool. It is really cool. Ooh. That's all I can say about that.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that it won't be cool or that it isn't cool. It's just I just don't know how financially viable any of this is.
Like, well, yeah, I don't know. That's why I don't really trust the Sony one. I'd rather do the Rift where they're not really bounded by things that Sony might be bounded by.
Right. Well, like the Sony one is going to be like it's going to be a PS4 accessory, so it's
right.
At least with the Oculus, like you can hook that up to your PC, and you know anybody can make stuff for it.
Exactly, and that's like the thing is that. Like, would you rather pay for a PS4 when you can get a PC for the same price? No, I don't think I would, because pretty much anything I could play on the PS4, or anything, you know, that I can play on PS4, there's as good as games you can play on PC and more. Because it's such a, like, kind of Wild Wild West type of scenario. So, I'd probably pick the Rift over the PS4 one, just because, again, you could fucking, if you want porn, you've got porn. You think Sony would ever have that? No.
Evidently, Microsoft is looking into doing this as well. At least that's the rumors that are going around, so. It's gonna be weird. Weird.
I'm already weirded out.
Right?
Weirded out. Freaky.
Any other news? That was...
Well, Xbox One announced 25 more games added to their ID at Xbox program.
Yay.
25 indie games. I got made fun of on Twitter today, because my response to this is...
25 what games?
Indie games to Xbox One.
Oh, we had a question about that. I'll throw out there from Justin. He was just like...
All right, we'll wait then. We'll answer his question.
No, he just wanted to know why no excitement.
Well, none of the games sound particularly interesting, and if I really wanted to play indie games, I have a PC.
Oh, snap.
That's... like, a lot of these games are already out on PC.
Yeah.
I see Guacamole and Divekick.
That's been out on PS3, man.
Like, Gunscape.
Right.
Like, I've heard of these games. I know they exist. Like, I could play them already. Like, do I need another twin-stick shooter? I don't play the twin-stick shooters I already have. Strike Suit Zero is out on PS3 right now.
Shit, do we need another one after Smash TV? I thought that was twin-stick perfected.
I think the problem I have with a lot of indie games is they seem to be, like, iterating on the same concepts. Like they're it's
I mean
like there are a few that are unique and interesting, and the rest like finding those in the horde of games that are copies of other games or like are just so similar to other things that you've seen, it's tough to find the good ones. And like when you announce like, oh look, we have 25 indie games, well that's great, well how many are actually worth my time?
Right, and especially, like, I mean, the indie games that, at least for me, that I'm interested in, like, The Witness or Transistor, like, you kind of already know about them, and, like, these aren't those games.
This seems to be stat padding to me.
Yeah, like, hey, here's 25. Like, I mean, and as you said, some of these, they're already out there, like Divekick and Guacamole and Contrast, like that. Pinball Arcade, like this is all stuff that you can already play somewhere else. So, like I mean, it's additive. That's
yeah,
not to say they're not gonna be cool, but
isn't it just kind of like a way to kind of counter like Sony's?
Yeah.
Like you have to understand why they're doing this, right?
I know why they're doing it. I just it's not doing anything for me.
Don't.
Yeah, but what about the little jefes in the world that love their indie games?
I do. I'm very excited that I heard Gone Home is coming to consoles.
The jefes in the world are very excited.
Yeah.
No one told him he can get a PC and get all these games going.
I bought a fucking $500 Xbox. I'm going to be able to get whatever the fuck I want.
sure, that's how it works.
Yep.
America. Also, guess what, guys?
What?
You're out.
Yeah, about, I mean, the only question I had for y'all that I had anyways was about like why there's so much excitement for these games. So, but I have like business meeting I have to go to right now.
A business meeting.
Business.
As in getting down to business.
It's business. It's business time.
Well, enjoy your business time. And we will talk to you next week, Jeff.
All right, I'll send you pics.
No, don't. Please don't
send me pics. Fozzie, you want some?
No, I don't. No.
Did you get the one I sent you?
No, I told you I don't receive pictures anymore for the time being. So I can fix my phone.
Oh, did you get in trouble?
No, my phone is, it's just, it's on the fritz.
Yep, none of Jeff's pictures are coming through suddenly. I don't know how this happened.
Alright, guys. Well, I hope, hopefully I'll see you all in Titanfall sometime over the next week if you guys want to play.
Yep.
Yeah.
Also,
alright.
Sure.
Alright, bye-bye.
See ya.
Never works right.
No, seen that coming.
Yeah. Was that it for news, though?
That was all I had, yeah.
Yeah, I don't
and we only had one question. We could have ended the podcast right there, yeah. But instead, Jeff had to run off.
Yeah, he couldn't just stay around for two more minutes. I guess it, like the only other thing that I saw this week was that supposedly there's going to be two new Assassin's Creed games.
I did have that. I kind of ignored it.
Yeah, so.
But we don't know anything other than that. We have some random screenshots that seem to imply French Revolution era.
Sounds like, cool.
Yeah. I've wanted that in an Assassin's Creed game for a long time.
Yeah. That sounds pretty sweet. Not gonna lie. But god damn it. I mean, I guess the good thing of it being annualized, like, at least it's a franchise where it does feel different every year. You know? Right. I mean, like,
and none of them have been bad yet. Like,
that's, no, that's, 3 was just like boring. It wasn't terrible, but it was just like, yeah, it was kind of bad. But all the other ones have been pretty solid. Brotherhood was kind of meh, or not Brotherhood, but Revolution.
Yeah, and I think that was just they overstayed their
their
welcome in that storyline.
Well, it's not like old person.
But, yeah, I don't know. What I played of 4 seemed really cool. And
yeah, I need to get back to that. I kind of stopped playing that.
And, you know, if it does take place in France, Paris particularly, that'll bring back, like, the cool parkour stuff and platforming stuff because, you know, colonial America and
the Caribbean doesn't have a ton of
Napoleon could be a character. I'm just saying
he could. That is totally true.
Game of the year.
I mean, you're right though. We haven't seen that since what, like Assassin's Creed 2, pretty much, right?
Well, I mean, Brotherhood was all right for it, and even Revelations was okay. But yeah, the last couple we've been missing that stuff. So, it's the rumor that there's going to be two different games,
like an Xbox One PS4 version.
Yeah,
Xbox 360 PS3 version.
Yeah, but it seems like they might be two completely different experiences, like where there's two different stories.
Yeah.
That seems a little sketchy to me.
I mean, the only thing is it's only a rumor, like.
Right, it could, who knows, it could be exactly like it was this year where.
Right.
You know.
They just happen to have two different studios working on it and.
Yeah.
Like, it could be just like Titanfall, like it's just two different versions of the same game. And like, who knows?
Yeah, I guess we're definitely going to have to wait for more info on this, but I'm hoping the Paris rumor is true.
Yes. I've really, really wanted like, it seems to be the perfect fit. Like, in all the turmoil, there just seems to be a lot going on there, a lot of history to access, and like, it's a more popular era, I think, than some of the other stuff that they've reached to. Like, a more well-known, especially with the Ezio stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows? But I'm excited.
And I guess there was one other piece of news. The man behind Castlevania Symphony of the Night, Koji Igarashi, has left Konami. So that's
oh, no.
Pretty big news that the guy kind of in charge of Castlevania for the last like 10, 15 years or so, he's up and quit.
No! See ya.
So, that's weird. Oh, and EA is up for worst company in America again.
Again.
America.
Yeah. Really? Like, I mean, let's just see if they can, like, three-peat it. Because I'm sure there's going to be some jackasses out there voting for it. So.
Oh, yeah. I'll guarantee they three-peat. I'm going to put money on it right now. People are going to be like, oh, Battlefield 4 didn't work. We hate you. You're so much worse than companies that ruin people's lives.
I mean, EA does have a they have a tough start.
The other thing is that, and I didn't realize this until after the voting last year, because of some of their employment and like equal opportunity initiatives, especially in the I can never get the acronym right, the LB whatever the big game community. Yeah. They get, like, Christian groups, like, campaigning for people to vote for EA as worst company.
That's nice.
Yeah. Because they're actually doing good work. That's the funny part.
They're doing good work, goddammit. Murph.
Kind of surprised, but, I mean, maybe not surprised, but, like, SeaWorld is on here.
Well,
SeaWorld gets a whole bunch of, like, because of the animal stuff.
Yeah.
They get a lot of flack.
Like, CVS. Like, really? Like, the pharmacy? Like, maybe they have some bad practices. I don't know. Kmart and Sears. Like, they're
Kmart? Just, Kmart is, like, done.
Well, I mean, they're a Sears company, yeah, but they're basically, like, I mean, outside of being shitty stores, like, I don't know. Are they really that bad?
Can we vote for Bank of America?
They're
on there.
Yeah,
Comcast
are
on is there. On there. So is, like, you know, every Time Warner.
Comcast beat Yahoo in the first round. Facebook, DirecTV.
Facebook ruined my life.
Microsoft, AT&T, Target, McDonald's.
McDonald's made me fat.
Yeah, I guess that's why they're on there. I mean, I don't know enough about most of these companies, so. Just like, you know, what you hear. So.
Right.
It's a stupid poll anyway.
Yeah. Joe Blow off the street definitely knows which one of these corporations is the worst.
Right.
He's an expert.
EA. They fucked up Mass Effect.
Damn it. SimCity didn't work.
Yeah, SimCity was bad. Battlefield 4. They obviously deserve to be a worst company again. Oh, well. So that's that. I don't think we have any other. I mean, Josh wants to know if anybody's going to PAX. I don't think anybody is.
No.
No.
Not this year.
I just sold my Aspis.
Did you?
Yep.
At some point, we will get back there. I don't know when.
Maybe next year.
Yeah, I keep hoping. I mean, I'd like to get us all there again. That was fun. So, I will play Infamous next week. And maybe Diablo, because that comes out on Tuesday. So.
Don't you do it.
Well, Let's see, I might have played Diablo. Rajas of India. Yeah. Sounds New Crusader cool. Kings 2 expansion. Get excited.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
I forgot that I played Towerfall. That game's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that next week. So I want to hear about Towerfall.
Okay.
It's a game that sounds really cool, but it's a game that I don't know if I'll ever get to play because you need
right.
people.
Right.
It's a local game. And
right.
All right. Next week.
Next week.
Yeah. Sure.
Say goodnight, Fozzie.
Goodnight, Fozzie.